Hello and welcome back to Classic Vinyl Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Justin.
And I'm your other host, Tyler.
And today we're going to be doing The Byrds.
Chirp, cheep, cheep.
And Mr. Tambourine Man. So why don't you tell me before we go ahead with this, Tyler, what is your history with Mr. Tambourine Man? I assume you've heard this song before.
Yeah, I've heard this one. I've also heard the original by Bob Dylan. This song, it's a very iconic song. It's kind of the theme song of the hippie era. Kind of what kicked it off, right? My experience with it, kind of limited. It's on soundtracks. It's had a lot of radio play.
Yeah, so you're pretty familiar with this song.
I don't know that up until now, I've really sat down and listened to it. But that's how it is with a lot of these songs, right?
Yeah, it is. So let me give you a little history about the Byrds. They're an American rock band formed in Los Angeles, California in 1964. They were formed by Jim McGuinn, of course, later known as Roger McGuinn, when he started going by Roger in 1967. He was the lead guitar and vocals, Gene Clark on guitar, vocals, harmonica, and tambourines. David Crosby, as we know, from Crosby, Stills, and Nash on guitar and vocals.
David Crosby gets around.
Michael Clark on drums, and Chris Hillman on bass, guitar, and vocals. Byrds were really America's answer to the British invasion.
Okay.
And that really is kind of what you could explain their sound. I mean, they really had influences heavily from the Beatles and all the other British invasion bands, but they also influenced the Beatles, especially with this song going forward. The band didn't last long at all, but their influences really carried on for a lot of years through a lot of other bands. And this is one of the most influential songs, in my opinion, of the 60s.
For sure.
Really, the Byrds starting with this song, which is really considered to be the start off of folk rock. It carried into many musical acts like Turtles, Sonny and Cher, The Loving Spoonful, Mamas and the Papas, Simon and Garfunkel, Grassroots, Tom Petty, The Eagles, and even into the Beatles. I mean, the Beatles really carried the sound of this in particular song, starting with the Rubber Soul album. And the thing about the Byrds is they ventured into other kinds of music as well. It kind of started a genre of country rock and raga rock. And so they were a very interesting band, but they always kind of have been well known for starting this sound that you hear on this song. Mm-hmm. So for a part-time in 1968, Gram Parsons played guitars and sang a little bit in the band. And some other members that were in the band later on, Kevin Kelly played drums, Clarence White on guitar and vocals, Gene Parsons on drums, guitars, vocals, John York on bass and vocals, and Skip Batten on bass, piano, and vocals. They were a very short-lived band, but they have had some reunions in that. All in all, they've recorded 12 studio albums, 3 live albums, 6 EPs, released 29 singles, and have released 47 compilation albums. We always kind of laugh about that, is how these bands that had, I mean, at least these guys had 12 albums in the short time, but I mean, 47 compilation albums.
So these are the guys that did that famous song about Psalm 23?
Yeah, Turn, Turn, Turn.
Yeah, Turn, Turn, Turn. Okay.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, I recognize the sound.
So out of all their 12 albums in the U.S., they had 5 albums that hit the top 25, with their debut album, Mr. Tambourine Man, which this song is obviously off of, being their highest charting album in the U.S., hitting number 6 in the charts. In the U.K., they also had 5 of their albums in the top 25, with their debut album, same thing, hit number 7 in the charts. In the U.S., out of all their singles, they had 3 singles hit the top 25. Both this song, Mr. Tambourine Man, and the other one you were talking about, Turn, 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 hit number 1. Those are the only number 1 singles in the U.S. In the U.K., they also had 3 singles hit the chart in the top 25, but only this song, Mr. Tambourine Man, hit number 1. It was their only number 1 in the U.K.
This brought the whole world together.
It did. So the band broke up in 1973, but there were some reunions in the late 70s, late 80s into 91, and even 2000. The band was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1991, which saw the original 5 band members play together for the very last time. Shortly after that, some of the members died, and of course, David Crosby died in 2023. So, do you want to get to the song review?
I can't wait.
And now it's time for the song review.
Okay, so today, of course, we're doing The Byrds' Mr. Tambourine Man. Now, this song was originally written by Bob Dylan, who released the version of his song on March 22nd of 1965. It was actually only a few short weeks later when the Byrds released this as their debut single, and it was released on April 12th of 1965.
Did Bob Dylan know that they were sitting outside the studio listening to him play and they just stole it from him?
I would be guessing he's probably made more money on this version of the song than he did on his.
I would hope so, because this is a much better version.
I 100% agree. So the B-side of the single was a song called I Knew I'd Want You. This song was recorded at Columbia Studios in Hollywood and produced by Terry Melcher, which he's kind of got some interesting roots to him. He's Doris Day's son.
That means we have no idea who the father is.
Exactly. And he actually has some links to Charles Manson. You really ought to look that up. It's kind of interesting.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, we're not going to go into that here. But now, this song reached number one in both the U.S. and U.K. charts. And that's pretty impressive for a debut single. Mm-hmm. Even though it's not their song, I think they did a very good job of making it their song. Because if you listen to these songs back to back, you wouldn't even know they're the same songs, with the exception of some of the lyrics are the same.
For sure.
It did hit number two in Canada. So basically, the Byrds changed the time signature and key of the sound and added electric guitars to make it sound more like the Beatles. I mean, that was really what they were trying to do at the time, because the Beatles were the big band at the time. But that's what's kind of funny about this song, is them using the 12-string Rickenbacker guitars that give it that influential sound, especially on all through the song, from the intro through the whole song to the end. That's what really shines in this song. And that's really what influenced the Beatles to, you know, produce Rubber Soul and Revolver going forward, with a lot of that same type of sound.
Yeah.
Especially Rubber Soul was more folky, and it really come from this, I think. It definitely influenced it. So Roger McGuinn was the only Byrd to actually play on this song, which is funny. They thought he was the only one that was musically capable enough of playing. And Terry Melcher just didn't have confidence of the rest of the band. So when we call this song the Byrds, yes, it's the Byrds singing, but Roger McGuinn's the only one that lends any kind of instrumental to this song, and he plays the guitars on this song.
So Roger McGuinn's playing the Rickenbacker?
Correct.
Oh, wow, he's good.
Yeah, he's a good player. The famous studio musicians, the Wrecking Crew, they played the backing track with McGuinn, you know, playing the guitar, and then you had Crosby and Clark and McGuinn singing. Roger McGuinn, of course, takes the lead vocal on this, but there is a lot of harmony on this song. This song, kind of going back to Dylan's, it's completely different. So Dylan's song features four different verses, and of course the choruses, and the Byrds version only uses the second verse. That's it, and it repeats two of the choruses. So it's kind of different in that way, and of course that's because Dylan's song, when you listen to it, it's almost 6 minutes long. This one was released as a single to hit the radio. It's 2.5 minutes. It's quick and over, but it's definitely more fiery, wake-you-up type of song than Dylan's, without a doubt.
It's very efficient of the Byrds. They were able to tell the same story in half the time.
Exactly. I think the story they told, though, was more with the sound of it, not the lyrics. I think the sound is what really propelled this. The guitars is... And if you've listened to this podcast before, you know that that's what I enjoy is hearing guitars, and I really enjoy the root of this song.
Yeah, I'm sure we've got some hate out there for liking this version better than Bob Dylan's, because Dylan fans, you guys are hardcore. It's just because it's more lively. The Dylan's very subdued and laid back. Dylan.
Well, it's pretty monotonous too. It's just acoustic guitar and it's monotonous. But yeah. I will say this: the lyrics are much cleaner, and you can hear him even through his nasally voice. I love Dylan. I do. I like Dylan's songs. He's one of the best singer-songwriters ever, without a doubt. To me, these are two different mood songs.
Yeah, I had no idea that this song was so political until I listened to the Bob Dylan version.
Yeah, he's definitely got a lot more lyrics in there, and you can hear him. It is a monotonous song with acoustic guitar, and no tambourine, keep in mind, in the Dylan version.
I noticed that.
Yeah, but it is a good... It is a good song. The Dylan version it's got a really good harmonica solo in the middle and at the end. And he's not sleepy, but there is no place he's going to. But sometimes that song does make me sleep. But it's just a certain mood. A lot of Bob Dylan's music for me is a certain mood. Yeah. Where the Byrds version, which we're talking about today, the thing about it is it really picks me up. It just sounds better.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to put it any different. It's just good. Okay, so anyways, Tyler, after listening to the Byrds version of Mr. Tambourine Man, what are your thoughts on the song?
Okay, this song has probably the most recognizable opening of any song that came out of the 60s. This opening with that Rickenbacker guitar, it's like you can see the hippies donning their bell-bottom jeans and coming down the hill covered in flowers to enjoy a whole era of love, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's going to be awesome. It's just, it's so, and this song opens that way. It's so beautiful. And then you got Roger starts singing along with this whole thing of, hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I have never once even considered asking someone to play me a song using just a tambourine. That's like asking someone to play you a John Lennon song and have only Yoko Ono sing it. It doesn't make sense to me to ask that, but hey, I don't care at this point because I'm on board. I'm along for the ride, and it's going to be a fun one. It's going to be a wild one. It's 1965, and it's just going to be a great time with all the hippies and all of the kids who are young and having a great time growing into themselves. And this song's going to lead them there. This song is like powerful. It's really magnetic. It draws people together, and I don't even care what the lyrics say. I don't. But that being said, I can't really understand too much of the lyrics, and I'm not really... that guitar is so amazing, that Rickenbacker, and the way that it's played. Roger's just a master at that thing. Like I said, it draws me in. It makes me want to, you know, put on beads and round sunglasses and a headband and go and hang out with the cats, you know? So this was a beautiful song that really captured a whole era for me. What did you think about this one, Justin?
Well, I think I'll have to disagree with you on one thing. I don't think it's... Although I think the intro is amazing, I think it's more influential than anything. I could pick hundreds of songs that I actually, out of the 60s, that I like the intros to better and I think are more recognizable.
Okay.
But I think the intro and the 12-string Rickenbacker guitar all the way through, the influences it created, and I mean, everything's built off of something, right?
Yeah.
And they did something here that was different. And Roger McGuinn is, I think, credited with really creating folk rock, because when Dylan went electric, a lot of that, I think, is because of what the Byrds did with this song of his. I think it really spurred him to go to electric, and which was controversial in itself. Yeah. But yeah, it does have an amazing intro. The song's kind of interesting because it starts out with the chorus with them singing their harmonies, which are good. I think, you know, I've got David Crosby in there, and everything he's involved in, even though he's a complete asshole, he's an amazing guitarist.
He's an asshole that can harmonize. What can I say?
So it's kind of the start of Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and, you know, the way they harmonized, which that, to me, that's what CSN's most well known for. I like the song because it does have tambourine in it, which I never understood why Bob Dylan's didn't, but I guess that's because he's asking him to play a song and he's not playing it yet.
Could be, yeah.
Maybe by the time this song come out, he's playing it for him.
That would make more sense,
yeah. I don't know, but yeah, I think the bass and the drums are a little hidden in this to the back, but I think that was kind of on purpose.
Yeah, the bass does come out at the end,
it
at
does. The outro. And I have that written down. Yeah. The bass at the end is really good, but the guitar throughout, that 12-string just is an amazing sound. I like everything that it's brought. It's an excellent song. I do suffer a little ear burn from this because it's played a lot.
It is.
It's in a lot of movies. It's in a lot of television shows. It's in a lot of commercials, and it's on every damn radio station you can think of that plays any kind of classic rock. So it is a little overdone to me, but to sit down here and listen to it with the purpose of reviewing it, I love this song, and I've always liked the song. So do you want to get to the song rating?
Let's rate it.
Song rating.
If this is your first time listening, our rating system's pretty simple. 0 to 10. If it's a 0, which nothing's been a 0 so far because every song has that we've had so far, it's got something good about it. If it's a 10, it's perfect, and I'm going to go out and buy it because it's that good. So where this one hits on the scale, this song is like a 6 to me, but because of how iconic of a song it is and how influential it was with starting folk rock and drawing in the hippie era, I bump it up 2 points. I'm giving this song an 8. So where do you put this one, Justin?
This is probably affected a little bit about how much I hear it, but I would rate this song a 7. I can't give it too much higher because I think the Byrds did a good job of making it their own. It's a completely different song than the Dylan version. And I think we're lucky that both exist, but I don't think they really did anything special. First of all, it's not the Byrds. So it's the Wrecking Crew with the Byrds singing harmonies and Roger McGuinn singing lead vocal and playing the 12-string Rickenbacker, which I think that part's amazing. I think they did a good job of kicking that off, but it's hard for me to rate a cover song too high.
Okay.
There are certain cover songs, like a good example would be Hey Joe by Jimi Hendrix that I didn't even know existed before. Well, I actually heard the Bob Dylan version before I heard this one. For me, it's the same song, but it sounds a lot different. I think they've done amazing, but I think the highest I'd give this song is a 7. It's a damn good song.
Yeah.
I don't ever skip it when it comes on, but I'm a little burned out on it.
I guess what I'm really touched by with all of this is the whole industry and the way that they worked together and worked off of each other. You had the British Invasion. This was the answer to the British Invasion, was the Byrds. They took that sound and threw it back at them. And they were kind of volleying this back and forth, right? So then the Beatles take that sound that the Byrds have volleyed back at them and say, oh, I really like that guitar. And so then you get Rubber Soul taking that sound and working with it, because John Lennon, Paul McCartney, these guys were really big into taking sounds and technology and making something new, making something different, something that people had never heard before. And so then it gets, you know, volleyed back over there. And you got other things that come out. It's just, you know, Bob Dylan, once again, he takes it. And he's like, I really like the sound of that electric guitar. I really like, you know, how all of this is coming together. And, you know, he starts joining in. So, like, I think that listening to this this song, it's just one song. But boy, the whole story behind it, I'm just blown away by how big of a screenshot we got of the 70s or the 60s. And I mean, that bled into the 70s. This is a really awesome thing. I think that's why I rate it that high.
No, I get it. And I think that healthy competition between those bands to drive each other to be better. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all benefit from that. Then even to now that we're still hearing these songs, they all had to meld together to form that music and take each other's influences and build better off of it. And I think everything's better because of it.
For sure.
So that's the Byrds and Mr. Tambourine Man. Let us know what you think. ClassicVinylPodcast@gmail.com. We really appreciate you giving us a listen. And until next time.
See ya.
See you later.
Thank you so much for listening to Classic Vinyl Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Classic Vinyl Podcast for updates, and also share us with your music-loving friends.